Turn to the book of Galatians. We've been working through Galatians, and we will be looking in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 9 through 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which troubleth you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening and thank you for this great opportunity to look into your word. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes, that we would see what it is that you would have us to learn, and Lord, that we would be full of doing actions as well, Lord, to obey your word. And Lord, that we might draw closer to you and love you more and more each day. Lord, this is our plea, this is our cry. We ask that you would meet with us during this hour so that we can draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We have here in Galatians, we have been looking at all of the different aspects here of how it is that the Galatian churches had turned towards fulfilling the law rather than trusting in Christ. We saw last week in verse 4, 5, and 6 that it was the love of God that brought Jesus, and it is that hope, that faith that we have that is displaced, there's the word, displaced by the law. If we bring the law back into our life, we are displacing faith and hope, and instead we are trusting ourselves to fulfill the law. And Paul concludes it by saying, you cannot be justified by the law. You can't do it. If you're justified by the law, then you have fallen from grace. And this is a horrible, horrible consequence of following after the law, the outward efforts that the Jewish people had been trying to do. If you try to, you will fail. We come now to verse 9, and we actually have Paul giving us a quote. And let's see if you can figure out who the quote is from. In verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This is a good quote that he is doing here. We've actually dealt with a similar phrase in chapter 1, and verse 6, I think it was. 16 maybe. But this is referring back to Jesus in his discussions with his disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees and how a little leaven would corrupt or pollute the whole. It doesn't take much to bring us into judgment. It doesn't take much following of the law to poison us towards faith and to cause us to rely upon ourselves instead of Christ. It only takes a little bit of leaven. This phrase here in verse 9, a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump, is meant to call to mind the command to purge out that leaven, to cut it out and to remove it far from us. Because if you do not, the leaven will go through. Now, for those of you who don't know what leaven is, that is the thing which causes bread to rise. So if you have dough and you put in the yeast, that's what we normally put in now, but a leavening agent, it will cause the bread to rise. You don't have to mix it all the way through. very well. You stir it a little bit, it will grow through the whole thing because it's alive. And it will eat up the whole dough. The leaven, it is able to infect the whole thing. Maybe a better example for us, something more common, is if you have a block of cheese and you leave it just that little bit too long, even if it's in the fridge and then it starts to get a green spot on one end. Well, you can try to cut out that mold, but you're not going to be very successful because it grows through the whole thing. This is the same with leaven. It purges through or grows through the whole lump. And so we need to, when we see this leavening agent, we need to be rejecting or pushing it away so that it doesn't infect the whole church, so that it doesn't infect our whole life, so that it doesn't cause corruption in our life, that our faith doesn't get pockmarked by leaven, that it will stand pure. This is what is called to mind here through verses 9, quote of Jesus, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." We need to be very careful not to allow following the law to infect our soul. It is good to use the wisdom of the Bible and to order our steps in a good way and to avoid trouble and evil and sin. That's all very good, but we should not ever let our mind, even for a moment, think that keeping this particular rule or having this particular standard is going to ever save us, that it is ever going to justify us. Because if we do so, it's only a moment until we have given up the whole pizza. We've dropped the whole thing on the floor. It's all been ruined. We've been leavened entirely. The whole lump is leavened if we leave it even for a moment, because our hearts will immediately go to trusting ourselves rather than trusting Christ. Paul is still, though, confident of the Galatian churches, especially those ones that he had talked to in the past. Paul had been there at the salvation of many of the people in these churches, and so he knew them. And in verse 10, he comes back to his confidence in them. He says, "I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded." That is, that you'll think the same thing. Paul had great confidence in them because he knew their reception of the gospel in the first place. They heard the gospel, they heard of Christ, and they said, "We need grace," and they jumped. They believed, they trusted, they left behind all those other things they had relied upon, whether it was demons or idols or the law. They left it all behind to follow Christ. And then they began to be infected by these people who are saying, "Return again unto the law." And now Paul is calling them back to trust Christ alone. We then find Paul giving an argument based on the fact that he still was suffering in verse 11 and 12. In verse 11 he says, "If I preach the circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution?" This causes us to ask, who was persecuting Paul? Who was persecuting Paul? Who was it? All throughout Acts, we have Paul. Well, not all throughout Acts, but once Paul gets on the stage, every time we see him, he's enduring persecution. He's being chased from this town. He's being stoned outside of that one. He is being thrown into jail, etc. Who is persecuting him here, there, and everywhere? Well, it's the Jewish people, especially the religious leadership that have, they're stirring up strife. They're causing riots to happen, to cause him to be thrown into jail. They are doing everything they can to stop the message that he has. It is the Jewish people, the ones who were following the law, who were persecuting Paul. And so Paul rightly says here, if I were preaching a gospel that was follow the law for salvation, then why am I being persecuted, especially by the Jewish people among you? Why am I facing an excessive persecution from those who should love God, but who are following the law by their own strength? Paul asked that question, and obviously, if he was truly giving a message that was pleasing to them, they would not be persecuting him. We might also go from this point and just say, if we are preaching a gospel that the world likes, the world is going to like us. But if we are preaching the gospel of Christ crucified, if we are preaching that God has sent his Son because we are sinners, let me tell you, the world doesn't want to hear it. And they will persecute us. They will ignore us. They will slam the doors in our faces. They will hate us because of the message. I don't want us to get this confused. Notice in this passage, Paul doesn't say, and I'm just a disagreeable person, and so everyone persecutes me. Everyone is offended at my person. No, instead, in verse 11, it says, the offense of the cross is what brought the persecution to Paul. The offense of the cross, the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified, that was what brought him to persecution. And it was that very thing that he was willing to be persecuted for. We find in verse 12, Paul says, I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. And I struggled with this one a bit, trying to figure out who in the passage it's talking about, whether it's the ones who are preaching the law or whether it's the ones who are persecuting. But it seems to be that those who were troubling the Galatian churches are the ones who were calling them to enter into bondage of the law. Paul here gives perhaps the strongest words that a Christian can say about someone. I wish that they were cut off. I'll let you struggle with whether cut off means dead in this life or condemned in the next life. But either way, Paul is saying, I wish they were gone so that you would not be troubled anymore. Paul's desire is for the people of Galatia to be unified and rejoicing in serving Christ through faith. We read verse 13 because here he then goes on to his hope for the Galatian church. He says, ye have been called unto liberty. Many churches today love this particular phrase. We have liberty. We have the freedom to do what we want. We can do or say or use any methods or means we want. It's all open to us. You want to do that? Go ahead. You have liberty. That's what many modern churches would say. But we find here Paul states we have liberty. In fact, that we've been called unto it, which means not only is it allowed to us, but it's actually what we're supposed to be having. You and I should have liberty. We should be walking in liberty. But what does this liberty look like according to Paul? Well, at the end of the verse, we find that it is called a liberty by love serving one another. This is the kind of liberty that we should exercise. Our liberty is not an opportunity to do whatever pleases us, but rather an opportunity to be of service one to another. This ties in with this morning's message just a little bit. Serving others should be one of our aims as Christians, and liberty gives us the freedom to do that. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people, they had very few opportunities to serve one another. They could give alms to those who are sick and needy. They could offer their sacrifices to God, and the Levites and the priests, they could offer sacrifices and serve the people. But here we have everyone, all of the Galatians and all those churches, being told that they have liberty and they've been called to use it to serve one another. Each one of us has the opportunity to put others better than ourselves. We are called to serve one another. I want us to notice that liberty is not the reason we serve. It is merely the freedom to serve. Instead, what causes us to serve one another is love. By love. Love is the means or the motivation for our service. We should not serve one another out of duty. It doesn't say, but by duty, serve one another. Or, ye have been commanded, so serve one another. Those things are both true, but we are to be motivated by love in our service one toward another. This changes how we serve one another. At this point, we could go on a nice long rabbit trail. We'll go on a short one, but I'm just warning you. We could go on a long one and discuss all of the different ways that we can serve one another and how it's different when it's done out of a heart of love. Maybe you have seen someone who is waiting the table. They are coming and they are serving you your food, and they come in and they plonk the plate down as roughly as possible. They don't worry about your elbow being in the way. They kind of shove you out of the way to drop the plate there. And they are very grumpy about pouring a little bit of water, bringing the pitcher of water to you in America, pouring the water for you or whatever. They're not at all happy in their service of you, even though it's their job and even though they are being paid to do it, yet they do it very grudgingly. It's their duty to do this. If they could get away with it, they wouldn't serve anybody. And it shows. But if you are out of love serving someone, you're more careful in how you are doing it. You're doing it in such a way as to help that other person as much as possible. You're making sure that they have all of the utensils they need, that they have the cup as well as the fork and knife, that all of the place setting is there. You're carefully placing the plate and maybe even saying, excuse me, here's your plate. All of that kind of thing so that you can serve them in a way that expresses your love towards them. Love does not seek its own, but instead it seeks to help others. It seeks another's benefit. And so by love we serve one another means that we are going above and beyond mere duty. We are instead trying to magnify, bless, help, encourage, or strengthen that other person in every way that we can serve them. Maybe your service is that cup of water on a hot day. So, you know, everyone now is licking their lips and getting thirsty. On a hot day and you've got the cup of water and someone brings you a cup of water, it is a service. And if they did that without being asked, how much love that shows, a care and concern that it shows. Each one of us needs to use our liberty to serve one another. What do most people today use liberty for? Again, this is another rabbit trail that we could go down for hours about self-serving liberty, whether it's in the realm of, you know, what can I get, or how much can I take advantage of other people. Liberty is often the way of bullying your way into more things. I have the liberty to take this, so I'm going to take all of it. McDonald's has those paper napkins, you know. They're there. There's liberty to take them. Do you take the whole box then? You know, that's the way people are thinking today. Take all of it. Take everything we can. It's all for us. instead of trying to serve others. We find here that Paul wants the people of Galatia to have this heart of liberty only if it's subservient to love. We've seen then in this chapter that faith is in opposition to the law, grace and hope are in opposition to justification by the law, but also now we have seen that liberty is of no use unless it is bound by love. Liberty is not fulfilling its purpose unless it is bound by love. If we look down one more verse, verse 14, we have Paul continuing on saying, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Again, pointing back to Jesus' answer on what is the greatest commandment. Loving thy neighbor as thyself is keeping the law. Here, Paul is not saying there's no value in the law. He's just saying you can't be justified by the law. And if you want to keep the law, really you should be free from the law and instead love. Instead of here's a list of do's and don'ts, try and think of what is best for the other person. Instead of a list of do's and don'ts, and these things will win us favor with God, love your neighbor as yourself. And then you will fulfill all the law. You will definitely not steal from your neighbor. You won't kill your neighbor because you love them. You care for them as yourself. So you will fulfill the whole law. We then need to walk in liberty. Christian, have you been walking in liberty recently? Or have you found yourself making rules for yourself instead of trying to serve others? Again, these things are not mutually exclusive. You still probably should look at yourself and say, I'm prone to this sin. I'm going to make a rule so that I don't fall further into sin. But do you take the liberty that you have to serve someone else? Or are you focused only on keeping the law, keeping the law, keeping the law? Keeping the law will only ever lead us to the point where we find we have failed. But loving others will cause us to serve as we ought to serve. It will allow us to actually fulfill the law. That word fulfill there in verse 14 is an amazing word. Fulfill. Not just that you'll occasionally keep the law, but you'll fulfill not only the letter, but the intention of the law. You see, the law was not built for the purpose of bringing us to righteousness. But instead, if we are righteous through Christ and we try and serve others, we will have met the heart of the law. We will have done everything that the law requires. We will be having an expansive life, a life of growth. So we have come from, in this chapter, and actually a little bit into chapter 4, we have come from the circumcision and the law and keeping of the law. Now we have come to how we can actually fulfill the law as Christians. And it is fulfilled in loving one another and serving one another. Christian, we need to serve one another. We need to love one another. This can only happen if we are using our liberty, not for our own self, for our own gain, but for each other. We're now done looking into Galatians chapter 5 for tonight.